Well, brethren, it's a privilege to have Brother Kenneth Furnitz amidst us. He comes from Vernon, British Columbia, Canada. His talk is entitled, Apprenticeship Today, Journeymen Tomorrow. Apprenticeship Today, Journeymen Tomorrow. Brother Kenneth.
Thank you, Brother Austin, and thank you, Brother Jack, for your prayer. Sister Carmelita and I are very happy to be with you at another General Convention. We'd like to bring to you the Christian loving greetings from our family, our oldest son, LaVon, Charlene and her husband, Peter, Arbor and his wife, Tammy, and Risa. Want to extend their love to you, as well as from the class that we meet with. They all send their Christian love to you here. There was a lot of Polish brethren from Vancouver wanted to express their love to the General Convention here as well. Brethren from Alberta, from the northern part of Alberta, Canada. Brethren from Saskatchewan as well expressed their love to you here. We have some brethren from Manitoba with us here. And last but not least, we had some phone calls that we made to, and they as well phoned us, an email from Moldova, special love from the brethren from Moldova, brethren from Romania, and brethren from the Ukraine. They are experiencing a terrible drought. They haven't had rain for 2 months, and you can imagine what that has done to their gardens. Apparently, the drought has extended all the way to Greece. There was a report that approximately 50 people have died from overexhaustion in Greece alone. I'd like to thank the committee for the arrangement of the program for this year at this convention today. We'd like to thank the committee, the facilities, that those that labor in the back scenes that made this convention possible. I'd like to thank Lennon Grice for his presentation of the theme discourse. And we're going to talk about the inner circle that he touched on. Well, I'd like to thank Robert Goodman for his presentation. And I promise not to use his scriptures. He used some lovely scriptures in the book of Ephesians. I want you to think about something. The presentation that Brother Goodman had given, apply that to your apprenticeship today. And that application will help you to qualify you for a journeyman tomorrow. I hope that the subject that I have chosen will some way help us and our character development to prepare us to be qualified journeymen in the future. What is an apprentice? Some of you probably do know. Apprentice is a person learning a trade or an art and agrees to work for his employer a certain length of time with little or no pay at all. Apprentice is a beginner, a learner. One is able to absorb the community traditions and culture of their elders. So when you consecrated your life to do the will of God, you began an apprenticeship program. You said you're going to reach a goal. And that goal is to prepare you to be a journeyman tomorrow. But you say, what is a journeyman? A journeyman is a work person who knows his or her trade, one who has completed her apprenticeship and becomes a master worker. Plumbers go through apprenticeship programs, electricians, mechanics, carpenters, bricklayers, and so on. They all have to go through apprenticeship program in order to qualify before they can acquire a journeyman's ticket. Otherwise, they can't find a job. I think all of you may know that. And so I want you to look at it this way. And so it is in God's order. We too pass through an apprenticeship during this gospel age. And that is to prepare us as a journeyman in ages to follow. But the question you probably arise in your minds is, what must we do? What must we study? What must we learn during this apprenticeship program? One of the first things that was given was in Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, verse 31. We're to be compassionate. The next question you'll probably ask, why? Why must we be compassionate? And the scripture says, for the Lord your God is a compassionate God. We'll follow further and see how we progress. And then in Jonah, the 4th chapter, verse 2, Jonah prayed to God. What did he say? For I knew that thou art a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounded in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. What does the word compassionate mean? It is to show loving kindness, mercy, sympathy. Our Lord Jesus, in Hebrews the 5th chapter and verse 2, is referred to as a compassionate high priest. And then in Matthew 18:27, the law of forgiveness, what is it? And the Lord of the slave felt compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. What happened in this case? There was no forgiveness. And what is the lesson? The lesson is in verse 35, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Jesus showed compassion by proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, by healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness, Matthew 9, verses 22 to 36. And then we go to Luke, the 7th chapter, and verse 13. It says that when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. You know what happened in that incident. Verse 14. He came up and he touched the coffin, and the pallbearers came to a halt. And what did he say? Young man, I say to you, arise. Compassion was exercised. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. And so it is, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. This is our apprenticeship program that we have entered since our consecration. Put on a heart of compassion. What else? Kindness, humility, gentleness. These are the elements of character that Brother Leonard touched on in the inner circle of our life. We must show patience, bearing one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity that Brother Bob talked about in Ephesians, which we wouldn't read any longer. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. With all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's a big job, isn't it? Of developing our characters. It isn't easy. James 5:11. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. Endurance is another element that we have to work on. Blessed are those who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Compassion is one element, brethren, of character we need to practice, we need to cultivate and work on during our apprenticeship training. This lesson that I have prepared is not for you. This lesson is for me. And if you think you might be able to use some of the points, you can have them. But it's for me. 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12. And we're going to sum it up this way. Peter sums it up, our Christian conduct. And he says this way, to sum up, let all be harmonious, which Bob talked about, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. And verse 9 says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. I love to do that. I got to work on it. I got to change. I'll never pass my apprenticeship program. I'll never become a journeyman. And then it goes on, he said, for giving a blessing instead, but you were called for every purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And verse 10, I think about this so many times that I got to catch myself. But let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue. And verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Think about it. I think of the words that Brother Bob talked about today. Psalm 72, verses 12 to 14. Here we're told how compassion is shown on the poor and the needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. Then we have Psalms 102, verse 13. Thou wilt arise and have compassion on Zion, for the appointed time has come. We want to be ready to become journeymen. During our apprenticeship program, we see that God has set a standard for us. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 29, it says this, whom he did foreknow, he also predestined, or in other words, determined or decided, to become conformed to the image of his Son. What does this show? This shows the standard that God has decided that this class of journeymen, whom he did foreknow to be joint heirs of Christ, should be character images of Christ. Remember the hymn we sung in our opening. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 to 16, Bob explained that to us. The unity of the body. That's part of our apprenticeship program. That unity of the body. If we can't unite here, we cannot be journeymen. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 5 to 9, Jesus gave us lessons to follow during our apprenticeship program. What did he say? Blessed are the gentle, means humble or meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. These are some of the elements of character that are required during our apprenticeship program. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 25 to 27. It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, you single men, don't go out there and marrying somebody because that's the scripture says you have to love your wife. But it says, husbands, love your wives. This is a presentation by Paul of the reason for it. Because Christ also loved the church and he gave himself up for her. And verse 26 says, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her, the washing of water with the word. And then verse 27 says, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. There are two things that we're going to reach eventually in our apprenticeship program. And we're going to catch it as we go along. Now, in the school of Christ, when you consecrated, you began to have a goal in life. And that goal in life that you chose is your apprenticeship program to prepare you to be a journeyman tomorrow. In the school of Christ, what is happening? We are receiving instructions. We're receiving apprenticeship training. And so from these scriptures that we have presented to us today, we can see that if the church will be presented in his presence without blemish, it has to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and she should be Christ-like. Yes. What does it mean to be presented without fault, without blemish? I think Bob touched on a lot of those points this afternoon. It means that every imperfection of character is to be overcome. Every unholy quality or disposition is to be cleansed away. He washed us from our past sins by His blood, but it takes the Word and constant obedience to the Word to sanctify us. Obedience, brethren, is another element of character during our apprenticeship training. What are we doing with pride? I'm working on mine. I have a problem. That's something that I got to work on. Because that will never make me a journeyman if I don't pass the apprenticeship program. And pride is one of the programs that I got to work on. Pride is very unholy quality of character. Very unholy. It is a disposition of self-exaltation in heart or act. Now, you remember what happened in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, verse 16. It speaks of a king, Uzziah. It says that his heart was lifted up unto destruction. Pride took the best of him. I think you all know this scripture in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit. And in Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Many of you who study the qualifications for elders and deacons, you often read the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 concerning choosing an elder and a deacon. And what is the instruction for us? When choosing an elder deacon, you do not choose one who is a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And then in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit," in other words, overestimate of oneself, "but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus." Humility is another element of character we require during our apprenticeship training. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 25, the lesson we draw here that we conclude to is holiness. During the apprenticeship program, we must develop the holiness of God. We must develop Christ-likeness. It is our standard that we must adhere to during our apprenticeship program. There are other texts that teach the same thing in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in verses 14 to 19, which we will save time in reading. Here we find that love is another element of character in our apprenticeship training. Bob touched on it today. What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God if it does not mean to be filled with God-likeness? That is the only reasonable way that we can be filled with the fullness of God while in the flesh. You remember Matthew 5:6? "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness." A righteous heart or character, they shall be filled, they shall be made holy. And in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." In verse 17, it says we must have an obedient heart. That is hard, isn't it, to have an obedient heart? There is no question as to the standard that we must pass through during our apprenticeship program. It is Christ-likeness or holiness, and it should be fully and deeply persuaded that we must become Christ-like. We cannot inherit eternal life or the kingdom. This thought should ring in our ears constantly, to be Christ-likeness and put on the holiness of God. And so what is our goal? Our goal is to be successfully complete our apprenticeship program in order to become a journeyman tomorrow. Now let us consider a few scriptures of necessity of developing Christ-likeness. I presume that you have studied this in class many a time, so I wouldn't bother reading it. And that is John, the 15th chapter, verse 2. It talks about every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You can see how that applies in our apprenticeship program. We must become Christ-like. Of the branches that do not bear fruit, what happens? We know. Those who have orchards, you know what you do with those branches, don't you? You prune them. And so we must be Christ-like. So I ask myself a question. Am I growing? Am I bearing the fruits of the Spirit? How many times have we read Galatians 5:22? Do we just read it? Or do we try and apply it to ourselves and see how well am I growing in my apprenticeship program to prepare me for the next stage? The spirit of love produces joy. It tells us in Galatians 5:22. What else does love produce? Produces peace. Love produces long-suffering, gentleness. Love produces goodness. Love produces faith, meekness, temperance. Why must we have these elements of character? Why? To qualify us that we can pass our apprenticeship program today, to qualify us as a journeyman tomorrow. Why? Again, the question arises. To train others to walk up the highway of holiness for the future ages to come. You have a big program on your hand, don't you? What about patience? Is that an element of character that's necessary? I think you'd all say yes. Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my patience. And that word patient there means steadfastness or perseverance. And you can see the special stress is laid upon patience. Examining the word, we find that two quite distinct words in the Greek are translated by our English word patience in the New Testament. The one is in Strong's 31:15, and this is found in Hebrews 6:12, James 5:10, and Acts 25:3. This word corresponds to common everyday affairs of our life. What do you mean by that? Well, let's presume you're sitting in an easy chair and your wife walks by you with a wet towel and smacks you on the head. That's everyday life. What do you do? Do you hit her back? No. What's another example? You took tomato seeds, you planted them in a nice pot. Tomatoes came up, they're about this big. And you decide, oh, it's a nice sunny day, I'm going to put them outside, let them get some nitrogen from the sun. And you do that. 3 hours later, you come back to take the tomato box in into the house. What do you find? Well, the neighbor's cat was in it. He did a good job on it. That's one meaning of patience. The other Greek word is, this word has a much deeper and fuller significance than our English word patience. And it means constancy, which means endurance of evil in a cheerful, willing, patient manner. That's a different word. It presents an element of character. And this is what's found in Revelation 3:10. It signifies a development of heart and character as it manifests itself in endurance of wrong, affliction with contentment. What a rebellion of our will, because we know the present evils, don't we? And God has promised to overthrow them in due time. Since our scripture in Revelation 3:10 mentions this patient endurance as being the Lord's word or teaching, and so we want to turn to our Lord's use of the word in Luke the 8th chapter in verse 15 at that same meaning of that word. And this is what it says. That sown on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth with patience. That word patience is with cheerful endurance, perseverance. Not the one who you come in day life when your wife walks by with a wet towel. That's a different. The thought here is that in order to be of the fruit-bearing class, which the Lord will approve and accept in His kingdom, it is necessary for you and I to receive the word of this testimony, even though we receive it with joy. And so our Lord shows us the patient endurance. It is the final test in our apprenticeship program. Another scripture is Luke, the 21st chapter, and verses 16 to 19. It says, by your endurance you will gain your lives. In Titus 2:2, we are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith. Now, I'm reading all this from a New American Standard. It may sound a little different to you. Sound in faith, in love and perseverance. In other words, steadfastness. This is the test, my dear brethren, that we must pass before we can be accepted of the Lord as the members of the very elect. And so, brethren, we want to run with endurance the race that is set before us when we consecrate it. And so now is the time during this gospel age that we must develop more and more the Spirit of the Lord in order to be useful now. First, by example, 1 Timothy 4:11, prescribe and teach these things. And Brother Leonard read the scripture to you this morning. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. You remember the scriptures he read? But rather in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And this is what Leonard talked about, the inner circle of our life. These are the things that we must do to qualify us as journeymen in the next age. Next question that we ask ourselves, I ask myself, how well am I growing? Am I becoming an example to others? Is life or spirit of Christ being manifest in my mortal body? And we need such an example. Ephesians 6 chapter, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this view. Be on alert with all perseverance, it says, and petition for all the saints. I think Bob explained it very nicely. I love you, brother, but I can't look at you. That's going to be the test. It's not going to be the test how well you know the Bible scriptures by memory, or how well you can quote certain pages. Your bottom test will be, the final test, the love for your brethren. Why do you think? Now, Bob mentioned this at memorial time, and I mentioned this a lot of times. Why did Jesus wash His disciples' feet? Were they dirty? There was a little bit of animosity. Our Lord was able to read the hearts of those apostles. There was a little bit of animosity. I would like to sit on His right hand. I would like to sit on His left hand. And that's why He said the final words, love one another. That's going to be our test during our apprenticeship program in order to qualify us as journeymen in the next stage. There are 2 points for us to remember in our apprenticeship program. You may have forgotten everything that I have said, because we are leaky vessels, right? And if you have a mind like mine, it's like a screen door. Love is patient, right? Love is kind. Love is not jealous, is it? Remember the four I's, the I's that Bob talked about, me, I, myself? Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It means it's not puffed up. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered, thinking no evil. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. But the love rejoices in what? Rejoices with the truth. You remember Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I believe it's verse 15. Speak the truth. How many of us have spoken the truth concerning the Word of God? Prove it by the Word of God. But you're to do it with love. Speak the truth with love, not with animosity, not with anger, not with jealousy. And it says, love endures all things. Love never, never fails. Two points that we should remember, and that is to be Christ-likeness, to grow in holiness of God. That is difficult. That is not easy in our apprenticeship program. This is the goal we set out that we're going to do. We do require the robe of Christ's righteousness to cover our imperfection flesh, don't we? When we first heard the gospel call, we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Bob quoted these scriptures, Romans 12, 1 and 2. When we presented our bodies a living sacrifice, a transformation of mind takes place, doesn't it? The new creature is being developed. But the old man keeps giving you problems, doesn't he? The new creature wants unity. The old man says, no, no. You divide. You sit on that side of the fence and let him sit on that side of the fence. That's the problem with the old nature. That's the one we got to work up during our apprenticeship program to develop us to be Christ-likeness, the holiness of God, to prepare us for the next stage to be journeymen. We must not make a mistake that these new creatures too closely identify with the flesh. There's a separation. Romans 8, 9. It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's the old nature that's giving us problem. It's not the new creature. Galatians 5, 17. The flesh warred against the Spirit, and the Spirit warred against the flesh. The new creature fights his good fight of faith, and that one stands loyal to the Word and continues to seek every day the will of God, as did our Savior. This is a fruit-bearing character development that we are acceptable in the Lord's sight that we have to develop. After wearing the wedding garment, which the Lord has provided, and our apprenticeship program is complete, our glorious change shall come. Isn't that nice? The first resurrection change. Then we shall be through with our flesh, that old nature. We finally had killed him. We got rid of him. And we shall be new creatures. How? Complete. We're spirit-bodied as well as spirit-minded. We must all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44. Finally, we have completed the apprenticeship program. We're raised a spirit body, divine nature. After this long battle, we have become more than overcomers. We now have become journeymen. What is a journeyman? A journeyman is the one who has completed their apprenticeship and becomes a master worker. Now begins the task of being ready to be kings and priests in the next age. Doing what? Judging the world and the angels for 1,000 years. Now the world too will go through an apprenticeship program, wouldn't they? Yes. And that'll prepare the world for the highway of holiness. Remember when you study your tabernacle, atonement today, the feast of fat things tomorrow, the Aaronic priesthood today, the Melchizedek priest tomorrow, the age of sacrifice today, the age of blessing tomorrow, as promised to Father Abraham. How will you do as a journeyman, as kings and priests now? There's going to be an intervention on behalf of the world, isn't there? On behalf of the nation of Israel, as they cry out to the Lord God, please help us, our wisdom has run out. Psalms 107, verses 27 to 29. The God of this world now is bound for 1,000 years. What does that mean? No more evil. What a change in the world affairs. The holy men of old are resurrected. When Lazarus was awakened, what did Jesus say to those around him? Unbind him. That will be the work of the church. That will be the work of the journeyman in the next age. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. What does that mean? The journeyman in the next age, what are you going to do? The church will be those heavens that will bring about God's glory. The journeyman will do that. And what is God's glory? His goodness, His compassion, His graciousness. He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, His truth. Who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. God gave up His Son that man might live. I like Isaiah 25, verses 6, 7, and 8. That's the work of the journeyman. The Lord will provide a lavish banquet for all the people on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine and refined wine. Verse 7. No more Satan's veil being stretched over all the nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and God will wipe tears away from all their faces. He will remove the reproach of His people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 42:16. And I will lead the blind by the way they did not know. That is going to be the church's work as journeymen. You're going to lead the world in paths they did not know. You're going to guide them. You're going to make darkness into light. You're going to make rugged places into plains. These are the things that you as journeymen will do, and it will not be undone. It will be accomplished. You as journeymen in the next stage will be involved in a great educational program. This is why you're being prepared now in your apprenticeship program to qualify you to be the journeyman tomorrow, to receive, as the world does, literally a ticket in your hand. You qualify to be a journeyman. You qualify to enter a workplace. When you pass this program, that'll qualify you to be teachers in the next age. You're going to restore the world of mankind back to its former state, as Father Adam enjoyed in his day. Isn't that going to be joyous? Isn't that going to be a grand privilege? Don't you want to fulfill your apprenticeship program today? I do. I do. And so my prayer on your behalf is that somehow, in some way, that we all can pass this apprenticeship program to qualify us to be journeymen tomorrow. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen.
It's called Satisfied with Thy Likeness. We request Brother Ken to ask the Lord's blessing on our fellowship and the dinner as well.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We thank Thee that Thou hast called us out of darkness as marvelous light. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us together as one body, as one unit, as one spirit. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Spirit. And at this time, Heavenly Father, we pray the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us gathered here. Lead us in the path of righteousness. Keep us away from all evil and all danger. And help us to develop the elements of character Thou hast presented to us, that we may fulfill our apprenticeship goal that we had set out to do. Heavenly Father, bless the fellowship hour. We ask Thy blessing also upon the temporal provision provided before us, that the strength derived in some way may bring honor and glory unto Thy holy name. And Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy kingdom to come soon, to end this long night of misery and woe, that world would see the dawning of a new day. And now, Heavenly Father, forgive us. We have come short, we have failed. As we commit ourselves for the guidance, we give Thee thanks and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.